God, we thank you for your goodness. Your presence is ever with us. So, Father, we thank you for just what you're going to do in the rest of this service. So, Father, we give ourselves, we give our hearts, our minds, we give it all to you. God, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Continue to feed us, continue to speak to us, lead us and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, we all pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Good morning. To those watching online, we welcome you. We're so grateful for the series that we're in on the Lord's Prayer. And we're excited about what God's been teaching us. Heard a story. Won't say if it's true or not. But in fact, it really, I don't know. But I heard this story. So take it like your fishing story. Some of you fishermen, you've already tried to tell me your story. So I heard the story of a young pastor. This young pastor had his daughter by him as throughout many of his services. And this daughter happened to notice that her father, every time before he would get up to preach, he would bow his head and pray. And so she asked him, "Why do you do that? Why do you pray every time right before you go up to preach?" Well, the dad was, and the young preacher was pretty excited that his kid was watching him and just noticing that he's praying before his messages. And so he took a moment and he said, "Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you're noticing. That's because what I'm doing is I'm asking that God would make this a great sermon. I'm really praying that God would just go before the people and speak to them. And so I'm just believing God for that." Well, the daughter goes, "Dad, that's really neat. Why doesn't God ever answer your prayer?" So, really, I'm praying. This is a good message this morning, all right? So every time, and really praying that you're enjoying this series. Boy, I really do hope you are. And I'm praying God's answering my prayers. We're excited for this series because going through this series on the Lord's Prayer, it's been great for me. It's been challenging, revealing. But I want to start with a question today. What's the content of your prayers? So as we've been going through this series, looking at God's prayer and asking God to show us, teach us how to pray, what is the content of your prayers? Maybe you go through you're like me, you're going through seasons at times, and it just feels like you kind of take a heavy breath because it just feels like all I'm doing is petitioning, and yet there's more. There's some here today, or maybe you're watching online, and you're exploring all this faith thing. You're exploring this new walk with God, and you're kind of trying to figure out, well, what is praying? What is this prayer life that I hear about? See, I'm grateful that I had a good pastor that I got to intern with, and later Pastor Stacy and I served on staff with him. One of the things that I love our Tuesday prayer group. One thing our pastor did that was very neat and served in the moment, every morning we had a prayer team that was here. We ended up giving some of that prayer team keys to the church, and so if pastor was out of town, if I was out of town, every morning at 7 a.m., there would be a group praying from 7 to 8 at the church. But I loved listening to that pastor because there's parts, and maybe you're like me, there's just parts you start praying and you get to a point and you're going, okay, I'm kind of done. What do I do? And sometimes you're getting started and then you're looking at your clock and you're like, okay, that was 4 minutes. Now what do I do? And we've all been there, right? And so there's parts, what I just want to challenge you today, what is the content of your prayers? Because I'm grateful for a pastor that literally there's parts, I hit those moments, and then I could listen. In fact, there's even moments in this new season that I'm sitting there replaying some of the prayers that I remembered from a pastor I respected a lot. And there's parts we can learn as we hear others pray. And that's where there's parts as we go through this journey, and we have our prayer and praise nights like we had last week, which was phenomenal. Thank you to so many that showed up. It was a phenomenal attendance. And just what God did in that service, you just feel like things are breaking in a good way. There's just, God's breaking down some walls. He's breaking down some parts of our hearts. And so we just pray that God will just continue to teach us to pray. In fact, it was the prayer of the disciples in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and it led into this teaching. The disciples asking Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus just goes right in sharing of a pattern to how to pray. And we've been looking at it in the two places where the Lord's Prayer is, in Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 6. And we've been going through it. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And today we come to this great part, verse 11. The part of the prayer where we'll break down today is to give us this day our daily bread. What is the content of your prayers? See, we make a shift in the Lord's Prayer today because the last several weeks when we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, it's been very much directed to God himself. God our Father, and then everything of those three stanzas, everything next is really directed to him. So we're really saying, God, may your name be revered. May it be holy. May it be respected. Not just as it's spoken from me, but even within me, may it just be holy. Let your kingdom come, your reign in my life. Let your will be done, not my will, your will. Everything, it's all directed to him. And so we see a shift in the prayer today to where it's going from the word your was very pronounced in those stanzas. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom, your will. Now today, we start to see the switch where we begin to pray for us and for those around us. Because you'll notice that the preposition begins with us. Give us this day our daily bread. And so as we dig into this, we're going to start to learn in the content of our prayers just how important that we can come to a relational God, that he invites us to come. And so by breaking down this prayer, we can just be confident in this. Prayer is everything about building a relationship. It's not about a religion. And so as we approach prayer, it's not just a religious thing we do in a service. It's not just a religious part of our devotions. See, devotions isn't a moment in the day. It should be setting our heart up for a day of devotional living. Does that make sense? So that when we're praying and we're asking God to teach us to pray, we have a life that's just in that prayerful attitude throughout the day. God, help me to remember that your kingdom and your will, your purposes are going to be going at work as I go through my day. And so when we have that missional, intentional to direction that God, in all that I do, let me not get caught up on the religious aspects of this, but keep to the relationship that you want to teach me. And so when we begin to pray, we should have a relational side to a conversation with God. It doesn't have to be all formal words, but it is where we start to invite a relationship with him. So let me flip it for one moment. So if I prayed so formally, if my prayers in my other relationships that I have in life stayed on a religious side, it would really be awkward. So bear with me a moment. So if I directed the same conversation, where all it's about is petitions and my needs and not about relationship with God, it would be, Dear Stacy, how beautiful you are. Give me today my food in the breakfast in the morning and let it be hot. May my side of the bed be made by 10 o'clock. See where I'm going? I mean, it's like, trust me, it would not be long. I'd be out on the couch. If I kept it up a couple days, I'd be out by Highway 64. Yeah, we're talking not even the back deck, people. We're talking the edge of the highway. And it's the same part that God wants us to be involved in that he wants us to catch as we go through this series. Is this is about a relationship. So Jesus started out with the paradigm changer. God, you are our Father. And then as we catch into his holiness, it's not something that his majesty, which is awe-inspiring, and it should. We can't lose that. But that awe-ness doesn't make us wince away, but it draws us in. And then as he begins to set his reign in his life, life isn't about what I have to do. It's not about a bunch of things that I have to do. It's not list of do's and don'ts. It's a reflection of God, I just love you. And I will do nothing but to want to serve you. The posture in our prayer life would be different. Get it? And that's why we don't want to lose track of the relationship side of things as we're in this prayer, as we're going through this prayer, is God really wants to help us to step into that so that we don't fall into the religious trap, which it's so easy for all of us to do, that our content of our prayers just becomes about our routine and our lists, and when there's so much more. And so even as we start to shift now to our prayers, the prayer life, the needs that we do have, God wants us to bring to him. And so we get into it today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Give us, I love the NLT goes, give us today the food we need. And so either way, on all of it, God, give me what I need to eat today. Give us that today. And so we start with the word. I'm going to break out just this whole part of the prayer phrase as our message today. Let's look at each of these words because each one of them brings incredible impact. First, give. Give. I love how Pastor Mark Batterson shares because it's a Greek word called didymai in the word give there, and it means to offer, to grant, to give. So God wants to offer. He wants to provide for us. And I love what Pastor Mark Batterson, if you're not familiar, he's, besides being a pastor of a great church in Washington, D.C., he's a phenomenal author. He's one of my favorites. And he shares this, and it challenges me. God is more offended by the prayers that you don't pray than by the prayers that you do pray. And often points, what are some of the prayers that we aren't praying that we should be? And so many points, are we just asking enough of God to do a work in our life and for things just to get through the day when there is a whole bigger picture that God wants to do in and through you and your life? And this is the important part for us too as a church of where God wants to take us in this new season, is there is so much more than what he wants to do through this church into this community if you're willing to dream and believe God for it. It's why we're believing God for a great awakening to occur again in our nation. We need it. We need a move, a sovereign move of God's hand that isn't dedicated to a church building, that isn't dedicated to just the Assemblies of God or to the Southern Baptists or to really any movement. That is just God sovereignly at work and no one takes credit for it. That's what I'm searching for. But when you begin to pray bold prayers like that, you got to believe that God is going to come through. And so do a prayer check of what have your prayers been. Have your prayers lately been enough that God would look at them and be offended because you're not even really trusting in what he wants to do in your life? Is it just enough to get through when God is wanting to push you in a healthy way? He wants you to move more. In this new season, God wants to do more and through your life than you've ever allowed him before. Why? Because actually that's his habit. God wants to do new things in your life. He wants to do a new work in our church. He wants to do a work in my life, a new one. But in order to do there, you've got to pray bold prayers. You've got to be willing to say, God, I'm going to trust that when I'm praying these bold prayers, you're going to come through. Later on in this same passage, so this the Lord's Prayer is part of a much bigger teaching called the Sermon on the Mount. Go to Matthew chapter 7, and when we look at verses 7 through 10, this is the same teaching. So Jesus has taken them through what a prayer life looks like, a life that's a life of a person that's allowing God to lead their life. You see that in Matthew chapter 5. And he starts to move into what a prayerful relationship is, and he starts to teach them how to pray in chapter 6 and how to fast and how to watch God start to do a work in their life. You get to Matthew chapter 7. He starts to expound even more. Look at verse 7 of Matthew 7. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. Everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you're sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? See, it's God's desire to give. And he wants you to understand, ask, believe, seek him, knock. See, there's a persistency that's involved in this prayer too. Don't just pray once. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Ask, seek, knock. And you're going, but is God really going to come through for me? And that's why Jesus went through these last ones. Look, how much more does God love you? We're talking your Heavenly Father. Is he going to, and it's where I love the verse, go back a slide, because it's in verse 9. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? I mean, have you done that to your kids? I mean, when they've asked for Fruity Pebbles, have you just given them some River Rocks? No. Here's the story where Jesus is going. I mean, if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? I mean, that's a crude parent, right? Now, it's kind of a funny sense of humor parent, though, too, you know, for the moment. And that was the point that Jesus is trying to make. Are you going to just do that and leave it there? Jesus is saying, how much more our God loves you? He's not going to play games with the things that you request. He's not going to play games with your heart. So that's why you are invited into a relationship that you can ask big things, because you have a God that wants to give them to you. So it's one of the greatest parts that even as we get into this, when we start to see how great and mighty our God is, and we transition in this prayer, learning this pattern of prayer, that we can pray, God, we're going to believe for big things in my life. Maybe you've got some health needs that you need to pray for, and you need God to come through in a healing way. Then ask God, seek, knock, and believe. If you've got financial miracles, if you've got relational things happening in the home, maybe in your marriage, just know, ask, seek, knock, God will come through. Believe it. Why? Because we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and wants to give good gifts to our life. He wants to do a good work in and through you. And it's more than just the needs that you're lifting up that he wants to do in the work of your life. Just know he wants to transform your heart to let his kingdom reign in your life that radiates his power and his presence to such a degree that people will look at our lives and start to see a change. They see a difference, and it's all going to be back to being attributed to who God is. See, that's the amazing part. Will we ask God? I was speaking to a business person, and I got to be really careful because I don't want to reveal. But I was talking to a business owner this last week, and he happened to mention to me, he goes, hey, I found something that in praying, there's two often points I've been praying but not asking. And began to ask specifically for God to do some certain things in their business, like contracts, like God to, I mean, didn't want to lay off workers, and began thinking, I mean, just asking God, we need customers, we need this. Well, guess what God started to do? He started answering the prayers. And my encouragement to you is ask. So many points we can say, well, I'm praying about it. Are you asking? It's so easy to pray, okay, God, do this. But when we come to a posture of asking, it's like it's still, that need is still on our heart when we leave from the church. God, as I walk through this day, I'm asking, I'm believing. You're, the answer to this prayer is it's on the way. I'll trust you. You haven't healed me yet. But as I steward that, God, I keep asking, believing in all aspects of my life. What do you want to do in and through me? Ask, seek, knock. Check out the other parts that we can see in this prayer. Back to verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. So do you notice it says us? It doesn't say give me my. It's interesting, isn't it? Lord, don't, you know, it just doesn't say, Lord, give me my daily bread. It says give us our daily bread. That word us is a reflection of the collective that we're a part of. See, we're part of a community, and God wants to set his blessing, his power, and presence not only into your life, but also into the lives of our church. And it's that, again, it goes back. Our prayers individually affect the corporate. Just like how we pray as a church is going to affect us individually. That's why if you play a passive game, you're not just hurting yourself, you are hurting us as a church. It's why we've got to be on guard saying, God, let us ask big. Let's believe big for what you want to do in and through our lives. And because the work that God does in our life, he does that work and blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Let me give you an example. So last week, as we began talking about God's kingdom coming in our life, we can see this throughout different parts of this teaching, this dynamic of God doing our work in our life as we pray. But again, it's just not for the individual, it's to go outward. And we can see it, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, as we were going through some of the Beatitudes, I accidentally skipped one. And I didn't know it till I got home. And Pastor Stacy goes, hey, you skipped one. Why'd you do that? And I'm like, I did? And so I did. I look back, I did. I don't know why I missed this one. It's an important one. Look at it, Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. So here's the amazing part. So this is part of the Beatitudes, God, his kingdom at work in our life, when we ask him to be the leader and savior of our life. Some of the outworks that begins to happen is God gives us a peace. And God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. But here's the amazing part. When you've touched the presence and the peace of God in your life, you can't help but want others to experience that too. And what you find is people that are at peace with God want others to experience the peace as well. And so that's the part of this prayer that Jesus is wanting to make sure comes through, is that as God gives us our daily bread, the daily provision that he has for each of us to live out this day, to be on mission, on purpose, believing not just on Sunday for great things in our life, but come Monday morning when we're at the workplace and we're surrounded by everybody that's doing everything but praising God. I mean, you hear God's name, but it's not quite the same way as this morning, right? You're hearing Jesus' name, but it's, yeah, it's a cuss word. It's not adoration, right? You're right. And even in those moments, the peace that God puts us in that place, that we want them to experience peace. God, give me a conversation this week that I can share with others that they can experience this peace of God. And that's the part that Jesus is wanting us to make sure that there is a work that, yes, is individual, but yet it's going to spill out to the corporate into a community that you're a part of called the family of God. That's why I love this prayer. Next week's message, when it starts to get into God, forgive me and to help me to forgive others. See, this is That's where this verse flows right back into it. And Pastor Stacy's got one of the most amazing messages for next Sunday. Pastor Stacy's preaching next Sunday. And I feel like this message for next Sunday is probably one of the biggest messages for Calvary Church since we've been here. You don't want to miss it. I'm serious. You want to be here. Because I feel like the work that God has already been doing, that we have had with messages, prophecy, messages at the end of some of our Sunday morning services are just outright amazing that hit on that. And you will not want to miss it. But God wants to do a work, this corporate work. That's why next week's message is so critical, because we'll watch God start to give us a work in and through us that'll be powerful. Let's get back to our verse. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. This day our daily bread. What's so amazing on this word is, as we're talking collective, God will give us what we need. And this is what's so beautiful about Calvary Church. You have a character. You have a story of helping others. And so there's this other's DNA that has been in your story that is part of your character that God wants to put on greater display. He's going to want to do in this next season, this part is going to go on an amazing display. That as we love God, we honor Him, and watch God do and answer our prayers, but then corporate prayers as well, it's incredible. I love what Greg Laurie, he's a pastor of Harvest Christian Church, and it's also whose life the Jesus Revolution movie was based on. And he shares this about this part of the Lord's Prayer. But God says, in effect, yes, I will bless you. I will provide for you. But I want you to come to me. I want fellowship with you. I want time with you. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Our Father in heaven loves to lavish blessings on us. It's His joy. But we must come to Him, and as we come to Him, God will do His part. But if we're yanking our hand out of His hand, that's a problem. God is holding on to you, but are you holding on to God? So when we start to explore this part of this prayer, God doesn't say, give us this week our weekly bread. He doesn't, you know, it's not, He's not teaching us, God, give me the yearly bread. God, pour out this blessing that's so amazing. Do it one time so I'm good for a year. No, I think He says this, our daily bread, to remind us of our daily need for Him. He knows our waywardness. He knows our ability to just do things our own way, and He knows us best, so that's why, hey, daily, come back. Daily, come back to me. He wants a relationship with this, and He wants to demonstrate that relationship that becomes reflected then in our relationships among each other. The excitement of watching individual prayers be answered only rises our faith for what God could do in our life. That's why I got excited when I think of a business owner that sees asking God prayers and watching them get answered. That's why I get excited when I think of Gene struggling for decades with migraines, and it's a simple prayer prayed over her. So it's not attributed to anything but God's power, and she's freed. God has that for this new season in this church. And a new level of relationship with one another. Our. Because the story isn't individualized stories. We watch it become the story of the church. That becomes a demonstration of, in our relationships with one another, there's a unity, there's a peace, there's a hope, there's a love, there's a belief. We're all in this together. So beautiful. And God wants us to step into that, but this requires patience on our part. Every day, seeking the Lord, saying, God, I'm going to, and trust me, the art of waiting is very difficult for us in the church today. Because we've got so much technology that we can get things instantly. I mean, we can heat up our food in an instant, if your microwave's good. We've got so many conveniences that we take for advantage. But some parts, we've lost some of the knee work to watch God at work. Because we want it in an instant, the ability to be patient. God, give us this day. And being patient to say, your will, your kingdom. Okay, now for today, God, give me what you'll give. See, when we have that patience, I love the old-fashioned word, it was to tarry. Lord, may we tarry before you. This is so much like, because when I think of technology, it's maybe, you, again, this is, I'll just speak for me. If you've ever tried to teach your parent some new technology stuff, it's a challenge, right? So like my mom, bless you, Mom. Love you. Love you, Mom. And she'll just kind of laugh, but she's watching. One of the amazing parts about my mom is like she really doesn't know how to text message. And so like I can still remember moments. She's got a phone now that knows, I mean, that can do it, but she's like to do it. And it's so frustrating. I mean, you're not frustrating, Mom. You're not frustrating, but it's frustrating. And so it's, and one of those parts, we just want Mom to know that text message, and but then there's also parts I don't want her to learn text messaging because then my phone's going to blow up. We discovered that through Facebook. My mom figured out Facebook a little too well, and very well. That's why she ends up in Facebook jail, but that's a whole nother sermon. Right, Mom? Right. But those moments that, there's moments when we're, all right, when it comes to, I've lost you. When there's parts, the text messaging, here's the part. Having a text messaging relationship with a parent because they don't get that technology is frustrating. The patience that God has with us. He doesn't want a texting relationship with us. Don't just give me a few words here and there. Have patience. Have time with me. And so that's not regulated by how much time on a watch. So throw that. Throw that misconception. There's parts, you know what, God can speak to you in moments that set you up for the day. Don't be strapped by an amount of time, but really a posture of the heart. God, let me be led by you today. Speak to me. Guide me. That's what, when this word tarry, this old-fashioned word, that really needs to come back. That God, we tarry till your presence come. God, may I wait on you to show up in my life. And see, that goes back to the persistency of that passage and that word give. That if we would ask, seek, and knock, it's amazing what God will do. Let's look at the last word this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. It's always been assumed here that the bread is refers to the necessities of life, and yeah, it does. But God, I really feel like Jesus wants us to see more because it includes more than just the physical needs. It's just not about food, but it's also about water. It's about shelter. It's about health, it's about money, it's about relationship. It is so much more. It's psychological needs. It's peace of mind, it's hope, it's courage. It's the spiritual needs such as grace, an awareness of God, it's faith itself. See, bread is everything we need to keep us going. So what I really feel like Jesus is trying to remind us of in this prayer is that our daily dependence needs to be on him. God, give me today the bread that I can depend on to get through this day. See, Jesus wants us to have that picture that it's the daily food, the daily bread that we need. It's not, Lord, give me the daily dessert, although I wish it was. Lord, give me today the daily cake that I could have. I know that complex carbohydrate is bad for my body, but Lord, please give me the daily cake that I need. I can't preach against cake. I like cake, sorry. But our tendency to translate our needs into our prayers, we so focus on our greed than our need. God, help me not to be greedy when I pray, that it's all about me. But God, my true need as a man or woman who just needs to be dependent on you today, give me the food that I need. I don't feel like it's an accident either that Jesus uses, the translations here uses that word bread, because bread is one of those staple things that some points, and it is kind of amazing, it's almost become in our culture today, it's one of those side things that, oh, I need to have bread. But it's almost on the side, it's not considered part of the main course. And yet you can get into cultures in our world today that bread, people would die and are dying for just a piece of bread. And that shouldn't be lost on us today. That it just kind of, again, reminds us just how much our culture, we've got it so well. And that's why we can't even just run by just that simple word of bread. But Jesus wants to remind us today that even in the basic thing, the most basic part, he will supply. He will give us everything that we need. God wants to come through for us in such a real way. God, we pray. We pray for our needs to be met so we can ask, seek, and knock. Let me not be greedy, but God, be in need and watch you and your muscles of your strength, of your power, of your presence come through. Just how important is today to God? Just how important when we look at this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. How important is this part of a prayer important? The importance part is it's this day that we need his daily bread. Takes me back to another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. It says this, as God partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness, which it's talking about salvation, talking about the gospel message. Don't just accept this marvelous kindness, gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. See, today is the day of salvation, and that's the whole part of this thing and this prayer, is that the bread of God is salvation for us. See, that gift of salvation, that whatever you, wherever you're at, whatever your need, whatever provision you need of God, God has good gifts for you, and the first and foremost gift is salvation. And you need to know that he says, what he says about salvation is that today's the day. So my greatest challenge to all of you today is, where do you stand with God? Are you living a comfortable life to the point that are you really leaning in that he's the leader and savior of your life? He wants to challenge you today to step in to a new depth of relationship with him. If I could have the worship team come, I want you to come up, and we're going to go into a time of worship, but I really want to challenge you today. Where do you stand? The right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. So if you're here today, and maybe you're still trying to figure out this God thing out, you just need to know that today is the day. You've probably heard this many times about Jesus being the number one thing in your life, being the Lord and Savior of your life, being the leader of your life, and you've been hesitant to actually fully trust, you need to know that today is your day. Why put off what you know you need to do? And it's amazing how many times I see people that will think, oh, I can do it next week. I'll do it at Easter. I'll do it at Christmas. I'll change, you know, I'll, because they're just thinking, I've got time. why make changes now? I kind of like partying. I like some of my life where it's at. And my encouragement to you is you never know how much time you have left. And that's not to scare you. That's just a reality. What I watch play out time after time, people putting off a decision to follow God when they know there's a God that wants to do immeasurably more what they could ever ask, think, or imagine. He wants to do a work in and through your life that is so amazing that why put it off? Because we're not talking about a religion. We're talking about a relationship with the Almighty God who loves you so much, who's been patient with you so much and will be. But why put off a day when today is the day? When today is the most perfect day for that? And I encourage you, why hesitate? And that's why maybe there's parts you've drifted away in your walk with him to the point where it's hard to even, when we're talking about a prayer life, you're like, well, I really don't know what it is like to hear the voice of God. And it's a very easy place to be because there's parts God will be knocking at your door. Because, and here's the amazing part about God will never break down that door. It's a choice for you to respond to him. He will constantly be there, but he'll never disrespect your dignity. That's why he'll never override your will. And that's some points why you go, well, why does this always happen in my life? And it's part like, well, are you back to trusting, God, give me today? Give us today your daily bread. Are you trusting him to supply what he will do in your life today and leaving it at that? Are you trying to lead your own life? Are you trying to do it by your strength, your power? God wants to do his power in and through your life. Why fight it? But he'll never override your will. The choice is always in your hands on what you would do. He'll never disrespect you. So if you're here today, I encourage you to make a decision to let his power and his presence come alive in your life. And it's a reminder for all of you, all of us, for those who fully love Jesus, is to say, God, help me to be reminded today to trust you, to depend on you, what you will give us today to get through today. Nothing will catch God off surprise. Nothing will catch God off guard. We might be shocked at the turn of events that we leave from here. Here's the great thing that you can turn to a God at that moment and say, okay, God, give us today your daily bread to get through what you will come to you on this day. And the amazing thing is God will answer. He will always answer to the humbled heart. So if you humble your heart today, God will always be there. He will always answer. That's why we need to be bold. God, give us this day our daily bread. Be bold in your prayers. Ask, seek, knock, because we have a God who will answer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your love for us. So Father, we just invite you to cut through the bone and the marrow of our heart. Just as you spoke earlier through the gifts of the Spirit, God, we just surrender. We surrender our life, our will, our hopes, our dreams. We turn them over to you because, God, only you can do what we would ever dream could be accomplished in and through our life. It's through your power. It's through your favor. It's through your provision how anything will get done in our life, anything that would be good and pleasing. It's you. So, Lord, speak to us today. Convict us, challenge us, draw us into that deeper relationship, not a religion, but God, a relationship that you speak to us every day, that you guide us every day. You give us your word every day to stand strong for you. Give us today our daily bread. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question today. If you're here today and you know you're away from the Lord, you know you are. You just need to know God loves you. That's why he brought you here. Today is your day that you can know for certain. There's no question marks. You can leave here today with no question marks about your relationship with God because it's a determination that starts with your faith, who you're placing your faith in. Are you trusting in Jesus to lead and guide your life? And are you trusting him to be your Savior, your only way to heaven? Today, if you do not know how to answer that question, is he the Lord and Savior of your life? Not asking if you've ever prayed a prayer before. I'm just asking straight out. You know you're not with him, but you know you need to reconnect with him today. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand? I'm just going to scan the audience. If that's you, I want to pray with you. Are you going to look up at me? I'll catch you in the eyes if that happens to be you. Thank you. Thank you. I want everybody to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for not giving up on me, for loving me. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin, doing things my own way. I want to do my life your way. Be my leader and Savior in my life. Create a new work, a new life in me. Give me today your daily bread that you have for me. In Jesus' name. Amen.